afraid to speak. They're afraid to protest. They're afraid to fundraise because of Merrick Garland's Justice Department and the FBI. People now live in fear of the U.S. government.
You are the resistance.
That is everything about this Biden administration. That is everything about the modern-day Democrat Party. And that's what they want, by the way. Let's be perfectly clear. That's what the Democrats want. They want you to live in fear of them. They want you to know that they will use every tool in their arsenal, and they will use every tool in the U.S. government's arsenal to destroy you. They want you to live in fear. Why do you think they criminalize me saying death to tyrants? That's everything right there, folks. That's everything. Democrats like Chuck Schumer, who goes on MSNBC and says,
the intelligence communities have six ways of Sunday of getting back at you, so you better be careful.
These people want you to live in fear of them, folks.
People are now afraid to speak. They're afraid to protest. They're afraid to fundraise.
You are the resistance.
That's beyond corruption, folks. Corruption is one thing. Oppression is an entirely different thing.
Corruption?
Yeah, we've known that our government is corrupt for a long time.
Oppression?
Now it is straight up oppressive. Now it is straight up weaponized. United States citizens fear their government more than Russian citizens.
Think about that.
It's... See, because I don't want to be a pessimist. I don't want to be negative. I still believe in America. I still believe in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. I still believe in the American people. But let's be honest with ourselves. This is beyond government corruption. This is flat-out government oppression. And Victoria Spartz nails it. And she looks Merrick Garland right in the eye and says, you do realize that you have now put fear in the hearts of every American citizen, that they will be punished for speech?
Punished for speech.
Wow. That's where we're at under the Biden administration. But again, okay, maybe we expect that because that always happens with governments. Governments always become oppressive against the people. That's why we founded the United States of America, a government for the people, by the people. We are our own government. We are the self-government. Long gone are those days. Long gone are those days. But what's scarier than that, because I expect that from the government. We expect governments to become corrupt. We expect governments to become oppressive. No, what's sick, what is sick, is that the average liberal Democrat now likes it. They want you to live in fear of the government.
People are now afraid to speak government. They're afraid to protest. They're afraid to fundraise.
You are the resistance.
Want you to live in fear that they will destroy your life if you go against them. That is what they want. And so, do you realize the sick psychology of these people now? Do you realize the sick psychology of the American left now that celebrates the fact that you now live in fear of the government because they think they wield this power? And how ignorant is that to think that you will somehow control those means of putting fear into the American people's hearts? You really don't realize you're going to be on the chopping block next, liberal Democrats? You really haven't figured that out, have you?
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. Harrison Smith sitting in for Owen Schroyer today. And holy goodness, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, more than we can possibly get to, but we will do our best to get to all of it. Some incredible videos, including a very powerful speech by the one and only Matt Baker outside of the UN, really doing devastating damage to their entire, well, their entire scheme of world domination. And it's no less than that. Stay with us. We continue with the War Room on the other side. Infowars.com, band.video. Share those links. Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Owen today, while Chase Geiser sat in for me this morning, doing a little switcheroo, a little musical chairs with the hosting chairs today. Hopefully, Hopefully it all works out. Thanks so much for being here with us. Please do share those links, Infowars.com, band.video. Upload it yourself, restream it yourself, whatever you have to do. We are in the midst of an absolute information world war at this point, and we are going to cover some truly astonishing things today, including migration in just various utterly destructive forms, whether it's the EU or America, whether it's the southern border or all the way up in New York City and Chicago. It's untenable. It can't last much longer, but they are continuing to push it with everything they've got and coming out with some really incredible propaganda to support the absolute invasion, the total invasion of the American continent or the American nation by foreigners. That's always sort of worth pointing out, isn't it? These people weren't born at the border. They didn't emerge from the sea. They, in fact, are foreigners with their citizens of foreign countries that they were born in and belong to. And they're not refugees and they're not asylum seekers. And in many cases, they aren't even pretending to be. And yet we feel compelled for some unknown reason to just give them everything they ask for, even when it's opposed by the vast majority of the American people. And of course, yeah, we've got Border Patrol agents and police and all sorts of regular Americans suffering for this cause. What's it all about? Well, I don't know if I have to tell you this, but they're on a mission of genocide. They're actually on a mission of worldwide genocide in a massive global attempt to reorganize entire continents' demographics for the benefit of the people at the very top. And it's all about control, and we'll illustrate that here momentarily. Some other news we have to get to, some AI complete horrors going on. Just the AI takeover is on at this point, and nothing is slowing it down by a long shot. But we'll show you what that's all about as well. Spoiler alert, also about total control of the population. It turns out when you get right down to it, everything these people do is about control. That's why their excuses don't seem to apply to countries like China, who have total control of their population, who've implemented the social credit scores, who have massive surveillance of every inch of their land, who can, you know, fine you for jaywalking without a crosswalk just by taking a picture of your face and just deducting the money from your account. You don't even have to be involved. See, once you have the control systems in place, they don't really care about the LGBT or the immigration or the climate change and the carbon production. Like, none of that actually matters. They don't actually care about any of that. They do find that caring about those things tends to give them a leg up in the unrelenting control grid that they're trying to establish. And it turns out that they figured out that people, especially the American people or European people in general, will go along with things that are horrifically damaging to themselves if they're told it makes them a better person. It's a cult that we're all being indoctrinated into. And if you're listening to this, congratulations on avoiding that indoctrination for the time being. I did want to note my audience at American Journal heard me ramble about this yesterday. But in the first 5 minutes, we played the video of Owen talking about how this government has moved from corruption to oppression. Basically, from corruption to outright tyranny. And he makes the very valid point that I lament as well, that it's not really the government that we're frustrated by. After all, that's what governments do. That's sort of why we have a constitution. It's why the founding fathers set up our system in the way that they did to avoid or to limit the inevitable consequence of having organized government, that is, that it centralizes power and leads to corruption. It's the fact that the American people are going along with it. Our neighbors and our friends and our family are the ones actually cheering this on and don't seem to have the capability of discerning what is good and what is bad anymore. Like, it's just, it doesn't exist in their mind anymore. It's all about power. And again, what they're taking their generally good instinct to like want to fight for the downtrodden. They want to eliminate poverty. They want to help people that are down and out. And so they weaponize that instinct to destroy you. And you're not a good person for being destroyed. That doesn't make you a good person. But these people have been, you know, indoctrinated in this idea that they're somehow martyrs for the liberal world order that does not care about them and is just running over them like a tractor on its way to scoop up piles of money. They don't care about you in the slightest, but they will weaponize your good instincts, the fact that you're probably a good person, and turn that against you. And again, it's not speculation. It's not just demonizing the other side. There's actually a very clear delineation here. There's a very clear divide that is borne out in polls that they carry out, such as the RCP poll, Real Clear Politics, published this poll. I talked about it quite a bit yesterday, but for those War Room viewers that haven't caught this yet, 9 out of 10 voters in the U.S. think First Amendment protections of freedom of speech are a good thing. So that's nice. That's nice. 9 out of 10 people actually profess to believe in our founding documents. Isn't that wonderful? Just 1/10 of people, just if you gather a group of 10 people, one of them will think, yeah, that whole free speech thing, yeah, it's not really good after all. But that's only when you ask in a sort of vague and theoretical way, right? If you go to Democrats and say, do you believe in free speech? 9 out of 10 of them will say, yes, of course I do. And then you say, okay, but even if it's like offensive, and they go, no, not in that case. No, not if I don't like it. Oh, someone disagrees with me? Well, they shouldn't be able to speak out. No. So it's like, okay, you don't actually believe in free speech. You think you believe in free speech, but actually you don't. You're not even a little bit. And again, not just casting aspersions on all of the Democrats out there. I'm talking about poll results that reveal this. 42% of Gen Zers, those under 30, I think that, yeah, it's actually more important that the government protect so-called national security than actually guard the right of free speech. Whereas of those 65 years or older, that percentage was only 26. You've got the young people who, about half of them, feel like, yeah, you know what, free speech, the ability to speak your mind, the God-given right to express whatever you want, whenever you want, that comes second to obeying the government. All right. So that's wonderful. Young people. Okay. Just great. That's wonderful. No, I'm so glad that people are trying to lower the voting age across the board. But here's where it gets interesting. Republican voters, 74%, and independents, 61%, believe speech should be legal under any circumstances, while Democrats are almost evenly divided. A bare majority of Democrats say speech should be legal under any circumstance, while 47% say it should only be legal under certain circumstances. So half of Democrats in this country, according to this poll, think that free speech is a little overrated, shouldn't actually be allowed. Now, if you ask, do you support free speech? 9 out of 10 of them say yes, but actually half of them, when pressed on it, when asked, like, really, all the time, they're like, no, actually, I don't believe that. I don't think free speech is a thing that should exist. I think the government should have a say. In fact, 1/3, this article says nearly 1/3, 34% is actually more than 1/3. Real Clear Politics, hope I cleared that up for you. Say Americans have too much freedom. 1/3 of Democrats think we have too much freedom. Wonder what freedoms they want to get rid of. We'll ponder that on the other side. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I am your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Owen Schroer today. We have a lot of, I don't want to say great videos to go to. We do have a couple great videos. We also have a couple of sort of horrifying videos to show you of the full-on invasion taking place of America as we speak. 10,000 people a day on record crossing over the southern border, at least, right? These are the ones that they catch and let go, or the ones that they allowed to proceed unmolested into our country, often having been carried there from tens of thousands of miles away. It's how you get from somewhere in Africa through the Darien Gap up to the American southern border. I think the fact that you're able to do that sort of disqualifies you from claiming asylum or refugee status. I mean, it's just, it's like somebody, it's like, oh my God, I almost got mugged. And you're like, where? And you're like, in Kansas, actually. Actually, I've been running since Kansas, and finally I feel safe. No, you're lying to us, actually. You've been safe for the last 10,000 miles. You just want to get into America because you understand the Biden administration is handing you a golden ticket into our country at the expense of the American people as we experience collapse in almost every sphere of our lives, from, well, obviously the fertility collapse, but the economy is going absolutely insane. Late breaking story today, Target is closing 9 of its stores due to rampant theft as the crime wave continues to spiral out of control after having been initiated by the Black Lives Matter riots. Obviously, drug overdoses, fentanyl, hundreds of thousands of people a year dying from that. It's just, we're not doing so great. And while we're struggling just to get on our feet, we have the federal government of America bashing us on the head with a hammer, telling us that we're racist if we don't lay down and die. So there's that. That's happening. But it gets even more insane, and it's hard to really even fathom what's going on right now. Like, it's beyond description. It's beyond any historical precedent ever, right? Except maybe you could point to the fall of Rome, ironically enough, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit, as that's like a trend these days. People being asked how often they think about the Roman Republic, and all these guys like, think about it, I live in it. Think about it, I'm experiencing it every day. So, of course, aside from like historical collapses of massively powerful empires or republics just being destroyed under the weight of immigration, like for the last couple thousand years, this is totally unprecedented, because even in those times, you didn't have the government actually building and facilitating and populating colonies within their own government or within their own nation, which is exactly what's happening now. In a way that, again, is really hard to even fathom, like really hard to even figure out what to do with this. Like, it's crazy. It's completely and utterly indescribable what's happening here. And of course, one of the biggest stories, I guess, which came out yesterday, migrant children pictured howling in pain as they crawl through razor wire to reach the U.S., which maybe don't do that. Hey, here's an idea. Maybe don't throw your kid on the razor wire and then take pictures of it to get sympathy. Maybe that's something you should do. I mean, that's just me. I don't know. If it's me, I don't actually blame the razor wire when you have the parents actually throwing the kids onto the razor wire and then taking pictures and going, look at what you made us do. Not exactly feeling, I feel bad for the kid, obviously, this poor kid, but what are you doing, lady? Why are you doing this to your child? And is this just a photo opportunity? Also, not really the way razor wire works. You're not supposed to crawl through it like a play tunnel at Discovery Zone. That's not what it's there for. It's to stop you from coming in. So why are you shoving your child into it? Crazy. And of course, if this was happening under Trump, it would be entirely Trump's fault. AOC would be there sobbing, crying at the border for how Trump is causing all of this. But of course, Joe Biden is in office, so now it's the razor wire's fault. It is, in fact, the big bad Republicans that simply put up what should serve as deterrence to the migrants. Instead, apparently, it's being used like a jungle gym. Not our fault, but that's what they're doing to their own children and then blaming us. Incredible. Can't wait to have more of these people in our country. And oh my God, it just goes on and on. How about this one? 200,000 illegal aliens have used CBP One app to enter the U.S. by airplane. 200,000 people. So think about this. On the southern border, you've got 10 to 11,000 people every single day crossing the border and coming into contact with Border Patrol. That's like nothing. That's like a drop in the bucket. Like, who knows how many people are crossing without ever having been detected or counted and added to those statistics. But then on top of that, you have hundreds of thousands of people flying into the country and being allowed to do so because they downloaded an app. Okay, what? That's not how immigration works. It's not how the law works. Nothing about this is legal, even in the slightest. They aren't even pretending it is. They just made an app you can download from the App Store. And apparently that is a ticket into this country. If you have a smartphone, you can get access to America now, apparently, and 200,000 people have taken advantage of this to fly in, right? So the millions of people that are crossing, hundreds of thousands a year, 7-point-something million since Joe Biden got into office, which is greater than the population of 15 U.S. states. Just think about that. Like, if all of the migrants that have crossed the border since Joe Biden got into the presidency all, like, moved to Montana, it'd be like the biggest, they'd be one of the biggest states in America. They would have a voting power that would outweigh 15 other states, which is really incredible, and also goes to why they're currently pushing to remove the Electoral College and make everything direct democracy, as if they, as if these people actually care about the tenets of democracy. What they care about is overwhelming the electoral system with foreigners who will prefer the government much, much more than the Native Americans who they are replacing in this replacement migration scheme. 200,000 illegal aliens have used the CBP One app to enter U.S. by plane over the last year. So over the last year, more than 200,000 people from four countries used a direct flight parole program to enter the United States illegally, says Todd Bensman, senior national security fellow at Washington-based think tank devoted to researching immigration issues. Those 221,456 illegal aliens are from Haiti, Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua, Bensman writes in a report published Thursday. Through a FOIA request, he learned of the federal government's CBP One mobile application parole program, which permits inadmissible aliens to make appointments to fly directly to airports in the interior of the United States, bypassing the border altogether. So isn't that nice? Well, you're an illegal immigrant. You can't just come into this country. Oh, but I downloaded an app. Well, I'm sorry, sir. Right this way, then, please. You want to fly into Milwaukee? Go ahead and fly right into Topeka, Kansas, and make yourself at home, because you're as American as everybody else now because you downloaded an app. I mean, you downloaded an app. So, I mean, now you're American. Now you're a refugee. Now you get $2,000 check every month because you've downloaded an app. They're selling our birthright, folks. It's a plan. Harrison Smith here, sitting in for Owen Schroyer. We spend probably the remainder of this first hour talking about immigration. I know Michael Yon was really giving a powerful testimony in the last hour of the Alex Jones Show, so we'll continue that topic, but we have a lot more to discuss, so we'll hopefully finish up with the immigration stuff here in the first hour. Hopefully take your phone calls in the second and third. But let's continue to talk about the immigration issue. The immigration issue, as if this is just like what we've been dealing with for the entirety of the existence of America. No, this is not immigration. This is invasion. This is a full-scale invasion of basically every white country, but specifically America and Western Europe. And we'll talk about Europe in a second, but sticking with America, they're having a hard time dealing with the consequences of their policies, the leftist. New York Times has this article from September 22nd. They talk about this woman, Elisa Pata. They say, in recent years, Lisa Pata, a lifelong Democrat living in Manhattan, has spent far more time worrying about Donald J. Trump than about immigration. But now, as she reads about the influx of migrants coming to her city, that's starting to change. Yeah, she's worried about the number of migrants because she's a racist white supremacist, obviously. Do these people ever stop to question? Do they ever stop to think, like, wait a second, I've been obsessed with Donald Trump over the last however many years because they told me he was a racist white supremacist and a danger to our democracy. But as soon as he gets out of office, they're flooding my neighborhood with foreigners and it's completely collapsing the system. I mean, New York is making cuts to its EMS, to its fire, to its police force to deal with the $1 billion price tag of these migrants who, by the way, are all staying at this like Roosevelt Hotel, and they've had the police called on them like 100 times in the 3 weeks that they've been there because they're just like raping women and prostituting women and dealing drugs and just like they're not good people. For the vast majority, they're not good people that are breaking the law to get here. And the fact that they break the law to get here sort of is evidence of them not being good people. See, I would love to go to other countries. I would love to live in other countries. They have immigration rules, and I'm not about to break the law of the countries that I actually really like because I'm like not a bad person. But if you're willing to break the law in order to get into a country, to circumvent, to lie, to say that you're fleeing violence when really you just want a better job, like if you're willing to do that, you're not a good person. Okay. These people are breaking the law. They're trespassing. They do not deserve sympathy because they're not good people. They're breaking the, they're just abusing you. They're just abusing your lack of protection. In some of the country's most liberal cities, this New York Times article continues, Democrats are wrestling with the complications of a dysfunctional immigration system and a set of problems that for many years has remained largely thousands of miles away. Yeah, it's like, oh, look, they're actually having to experience the consequence of their policies. They loved it when it was us having to deal with it. They loved it when it was just those stupid Texans having to deal with the policies of immigration. Now that it's in their neighborhood, they're like, wait, what? This is what it's like? Yeah. Yeah. You are bad people too. Like, do you get this? Like, you are voting for things that makes life worse for everyone, but you aren't affected by the policies, so you don't care. That makes you a bad person. And now that they are affecting you and you do care, you're a bad person with a bad attitude, with petulantly annoyed at the fact that you're having to deal with the consequences of your decisions and your actions. Do they realize this? Are they making the changes necessary in their own minds to conform reality to what they believe, or are they just going to continue to be destructive morons? That's really the question that being asked here. Because I can almost guarantee you most of these people are like, well, Donald Trump is still a racist. Wanting a wall is still racist. It's bad. It's bad because it's messing up our services. There's too many here in New York. I'm not a racist. I don't support Donald Trump or immigration policy. I just want him to get away from me. But I don't support Donald Trump. He's a racist. Like, how many of them are actually able to fully take in the consequences of their own decisions and reform their beliefs to comport with reality? And how many are just driving headlong towards the abyss while closing their eyes and refusing to acknowledge that we've been warning you the entire time? I don't really know. The new wave of migrants, they say, some bust north by Republican governors, is exposing fissures in a party that was for the most part unified against the hardline immigration policies of the Trump administration. Most strikingly, much of the debate over incoming migrants is happening not in swing states or battleground suburban communities, but in some of the most diverse and deeply blue corners of the country. Yeah, because it's not about whether you're blue or not. It's not about whether you believe in the promise of immigration. It's about reality versus your fantasy. It's about facts on the ground. It's about finite resources being dispersed to people who just got here yesterday and being therefore deprived from the people that actually need it and are citizens of this country, and who only have this country to rely on. Many express frustration with the Democratic leaders managing the new arrivals, and some worry that the Biden administration's new order was only encouraging more people to come. Orders like the Biden administration's decision to temporarily expand protective status to 472,000 Venezuelans. Again, like, what? I don't know. The arsonist is confused that pouring gasoline and lighting a match is starting a fire. Like, what did you expect to happen? What did you think was happening? Were you not watching the debate where Biden was just like, we have to immediately surge the southern border? Like, you don't get to cry foul at this. You don't get to pretend like this is unexpected or that we didn't know this was coming and tried to warn you the entire time. But they're still just like, well, I'll never vote for Republicans. I'm a Democrat, after all. I cannot reconcile reality with my fantasy, so I'll close my eyes to it and continue to believe I'm a good person when I'm actively destroying the country I profess to love. Morons. Again, I don't like calling these people morons. I understand you get more flies with honey than with vinegar. I understand it's kind of off-putting, but you people are morons. You people are suicidally stupid. Okay. I mean, it just goes back to the first article we were covering, where like 9 out of 10 of them are like, yeah, I love free speech. It's like, really? Like, even of like people you don't like? And they're like, no, not them. It's like, okay, you're just kind of dumb then. You're kind of dumb and you really like want to be virtuous but your virtues are suicidal. So you're dumb and dangerous. Like, it's dangerous how stupid you are. It really is. It really is dangerous. And, like, somebody's got to tell you that. Can't keep pretending that you're, like, a well-informed person because you hate Trump, because you keep believing all the lies about Trump. And so you think you're, like, enlightened. No, you're dumb. No, you're very dumb, actually. Dangerously, dangerously stupid. New York City is now preparing to spend a staggering extra $1 billion on hotels alone to shelter migrants for 3 more years. New York City is preparing for the worst, extending its contract with local hotels to help house migrants for up to 3 years at a staggering added cost of more than $1 billion. $1.36 billion, to be exact, just for the hotels. Just for the hotels, not all of the added cost of policing and, you know, keeping people in jail because they break the law at a massively higher rate than normal Americans and citizens of New York. Critics, including even some Democrats, I don't know, is this a requirement to be a Democrat? Do you have to, like, not have any self-preservation instinct? Like, I get that they're stupid, but I don't know. It's just weird to me when articles are like, some people, even Democrats, don't like their city going bankrupt to support a bunch of Venezuelans. It's like, yeah, I would hope not. I would hope your political slant doesn't preclude you from just seeing reality, but it does. So I guess that's what we're dealing with. They raged that the Adams administration's contract with the New York City Hotel Association, which is set to be extended through August 2026, reeked of taxpayer giveaway. Why are we extending this contract for 3 years? It sends a message of not wanting to reduce the migrant population, said Nicole Galinas, a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. The city created one big monopoly by giving the hotel industry an overarching contract with competing bids that would lower. All right, welcome back, folks. Let me just try to give you, the full idea of what's going on here. Since Biden got into office and completely opened up the border, more migrants have crossed the southern border illegally than the population of 15 U.S. states, 7.5 million at the very least. This has been, of course, facilitated by the fact that the Border Patrol invented a free app that you could just download, and then apparently you get into this country without any trouble. Isn't that amazing? You can fly in. 200,000 illegal immigrants have used the CBP One app to enter the U.S. by airplane in just this year alone. This app, I believe, went live in October of 2020, if I'm not mistaken, although it may have been 2022. But yeah, it's like totally treasonous. Like, there's no reason why this should be the case. This doesn't make any sense, but that's what's happening. Federal Biden admin moves to give federal IDs to illegal immigrants. They're moving forward with their plan to provide identification cards to illegal immigrants via Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The agency announced the ICE Secure Docket Card program in 2022. However, new details recently emerged revealing how the cards would work. They look like driver's license or non-driver IDs. ICE has stressed, however, they will not be an official form of federal identification, simply acting as a more modern alternative to the paper documents issued to those who've made the crossing into the United States. So that's nice. Of course, they'll also be allowed to vote very soon if the Democrats get their way, as those policies are already being put into place. And they'll also be able to actually be police officers. So while they're simultaneously trying to deprive you of the ability to arm yourself and have firearms as guaranteed in our Constitution, you'll have foreigners walking around with guns as police officers able to arrest and jail you, an American citizen, despite them having arrived via app 2 days ago. New York, of course, is collapsing under the weight. They've just signed another 3-year contract to spend $1.365 billion on taking care of migrants. That's just the hotels alone, by the way. Just the hotels, just the living expenses, $1.365 billion being spent in New York City. New York City preparing to spend staggering extra $1 billion on hotel alone in the next 3 years. That's a story from New York Post. It's not just New York, of course, Chicago as well. Migrant surge sparks spending spree as Chicago and New York City dish out eye-watering contracts. Windy City shelter nurse rakes in $20,000 in a single week taking care of migrants. Buses of asylum seekers keep asylum seekers. They're not asylum seekers. They don't deserve asylum. They don't qualify for asylum. They're trained by the UN and their free lawyers to say the words that a asylum seeker would say to qualify for asylum, like they're magic, like it's open sesame. Like if they just say the incantation, then they suddenly qualify for it. Like that's the way this works and that's what they're doing. And it's completely illegitimate, but it's on purpose. Like this is designed this way to work this way. Chicago has paid at least $56 million to Favorite Healthcare Staffing to care for the more than 13,000 migrants who have arrived this year. A manager was paid $14,000 for just 1 week of work, and a nurse earned an eye-watering $20,000 for a week in December. Both invoices included overtime. So yeah, they're just cashing out, just spending all of your money. You know, what little money is left over after having been sent to Ukraine, and by the way, just blown up in a giant Russian attack that we'll discuss later in the show. And they're sending it all to the migrants. And that doesn't even really include just the personal inconvenience of like not being able to access the medical facilities in your own city because it's full of people from 10,000 miles away. If you've been to a hospital recently, you've probably recognized this. I mean, I went to the Dell's Children's Hospital with my daughter a couple months ago. She was like 4 days old and had a fever, and I had to take her to the hospital. And I was the only one there that spoke English. So we're sitting there in the waiting room with our newborn, 4 days old, desperately worried, desperately trying to get some attention. And we have to wait for a couple hours because all of the non-Americans who don't even belong in my country are taking up all of the resources. So isn't that nice? So it's not just about the money. It's also about the, you know, horrible inconvenience of not having your own country with your own facilities, but all of it being taken up and, you know, by people that literally don't belong here, literally shouldn't even be here, but are brought here on purpose with a massive invasion replacement migration scheme that's taking place. And one of the big stories about that, well, and so on top of this, like even attempts to stop it happening in some way, hold back the floodwaters, is being undermined by our very own federal government. Again, I don't get this. I don't understand how this is even happening. Like, what is going on here when you've got the Texas National Guard putting up barbed wire and in comes the federal troops to cut that barbed wire down to allow the migrants in? Like, what is happening here? What is going on? When are we going to see a state government actually stand up to the federal government? I mean, we are at war with our federal government right now. The federal government is opening our border and actually like imposing their physical will over the army of the state that's attempting to stop this massive invasion. It is just like beyond an inside job. We are being invaded and attacked and destroyed by our own government. How long are we going to allow this to continue? Biden orders Border Patrol to cut barbed wire fences holding back masses of migrants. And not just that, if you want to protest this, if like the people in New York, you're sick of your entire city being taken over by people from other countries just coming here and taking all the resources, you'll actually be arrested. So you've got the federal government opening the way. You've got them building an app for the people to come in. You've got them actually busing people by the millions up to the southern border, then putting them on a plane, giving them a $2,000 check, giving them a plane ticket to wherever they want to go with an envelope full of cash, all of this funded and supported by the UN and the Open Societies Foundation, all these different things. If you want to protest it, you'll be arrested by the government for daring to try to prevent their actions. If you try to put up barbed wire, the government will come in and take it down and, you know, maybe charge you with treason or something for daring to support your border. And all of this, of course, is compounded by the fact that if you boil down the national government's role into one single thing, it's to protect the border. I mean, right now our government does a billion, million different things that it shouldn't be doing and doesn't need to be involved in and are sort of just accoutrement. They're just add-ons to what the government should be doing. But if you get down to the very basic, like ideologically, what is the government for? It's to protect the borders, to do the things collectively that we can't do as individuals. You can start a business, you can make your own money, you can do all sorts of stuff as an individual. I, as an individual, do not have the capacity to patrol our border. That's what the government's for. It's like the only thing that the government is really for when you get right down, when you start removing all of the extras, what you're left with at the very heart of why governments exist, it's to defend the people in the nation from the people outside of the nation. That's what it's for. And that's what we're losing. On top of that, it would be like something like law enforcement, which is also being utterly destroyed at this point. We'll get to that later. But we can go to clip number six here. Staten Island locals being arrested for blocking migrant buses. Let's watch. Yeah. So here you have the agents of the state, the police officers, actually arresting the American citizens who are just trying to protest and block the foreign citizens, the foreign nationals, from being housed and fed and brought in and transported by our government. So our government is at war with its people. There's a protester on the ground being arrested by agents of the state for daring to interfere with their replacement migration scheme. That's what's happening. So they'll arrest you for trying to prevent their creation of literal colonies of foreigners inside America. And I'm not exaggerating in the slightest. I'm sure most people know about Colony Ridge, and we'll get to that in a second. But Texas is not the only state or the only locale that is actually building its own colonies for foreigners inside American borders. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson signs a $29 million contract to build illegal immigrant camps inside the city. Residents of Chicago are begging Mayor Brandon Johnson to stop accepting more illegal immigrants, but he clearly isn't listening. Instead, the mayor has just signed a $29 million contract to build camps for illegal immigrants inside the city. They're spending $29 million in a city that is racked with crime and homelessness and drug addiction, really to a greater degree than almost anywhere outside of California. They're spending $29 million to build colonies for foreigners inside Chicago itself. Illegal immigrant camps. And we'll go to the. We'll continue this into the first five because we'll talk about Colony Ridge and what's being done about it, what's not being done about it, why nothing's being done about it. We'll get into all of that on the other side. I do want to remind you here as we close out the first hour that nothing we do here at InfoWars is possible without your support at InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore.com is the only way that we get support, and we thank you so much for going there and taking advantage of the incredible sales that we have, the incredible supplements that will improve your life. After all, this is an information war, but it's also, you know, just like a war, and you have to be in tip-top shape to wage this information war. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Not only does it support us, but what you're getting is a fantastic product, really across the board. Doesn't matter what product you get, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be life-changing if you take it as directed and combine it with, you know, bettering your own life. Bodies is 25% off. DNA Force Plus is 25% off. Real Red Pill Plus is 25% off. Each one of those, incredible on their own. Combine them, they're super powered, and they're 40% off with the InfoWars Life Trifecta Pack. We'll be back in the second hour of the War Room. Stay with us. Harrison Smith sitting in for Owen Schroyer today. Remember to go to defendowen.com for his legal defense fund. InfoWarsStore.com supports us here, talking about the invasion, the migration crisis, been completely fabricated by the people in power, on purpose, by design. We'll get to why that is in just a moment. We'll talk about how this is not just happening here in America, which maybe if it was just happening in America, you could believe that like maybe this was some sort of unique circumstance that was outside of the control of these people. It's happening everywhere. It's happening across the board. It's happening here in America and all over Western Europe, specifically in a genocidal program of white erasure. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. Again, not speculation, like that's what they say, that's what they advertise, and the reason is, once again, all about control. These people don't care about migrants whatsoever. In fact, many of the migrants in the countries that they're fleeing from have been purposefully and by design destroyed by the very people who now are claiming to be their saviors, as they open up our borders and allow people from all over the world into our country to overwhelm our system, specifically by design and in a controlled crisis fashion. Now, you may have heard about Colony Ridge. Colony Ridge Communities is the land development company responsible for providing loans for the construction of one of the largest illegal alien settlements in America. Now, this has actually been on our radar, and we've covered this for the last couple months. This story from Current Revolt came out in June of this year, but it's gotten more attention now. From Current Revolt, is Big Abbott donor running an illegal alien colony? Well, yes, it is. Why is this being allowed to happen? I don't really know. I can't really figure it out. Now, Texas AG Ken Paxton was asked about Colony Ridge, and even after this, I'm still kind of confused on why this is permitted to continue, but we'll go to his comments. Clip number 10 here. Here's Ken Paxton being asked about Colony Ridge Communities, the illegal immigrant colony planted here in our backyard. Let's watch.
A news story surfaced out of Northeast Houston, a place called Colony Ridge, which on social media is referred to as Terranos Houston.
Bullshit.
It has been claimed that this is the largest planned community for illegal migrants in America. Journalists have claimed that there's a connection between the Gulf Cartel and the Sinaloa investing there. I don't know if any of that's true, Ken.
I do. It is.
We just read reports online. It sounds surreal. It's very peculiar. I'm curious what your thoughts are on it and if your office has looked into this at all.
So when I got back, that was one of the first topics that we started discussing. As far as I know, right now, there's not a lot of legal options for this for us and my office. I think that can be corrected. I think that could be corrected by the legislature. They could provide options to address it because right now it's a private property issue, and there's no real legal angle that we found, at least in my first week back, to go to stop it. The legislature could address it. They could address it in regular session. They could potentially address it in a special session, assuming one gets called and that gets put on the call. So I'm hopeful that there's going to be some type of legislative solution that gives us some type of enforcement power to do something about it.
I just don't understand. I don't really understand. Kind of confused here. You've got a colony being built in Texas for illegal aliens, and that's exactly what it is. That response from Ken Paxton led to this headline: Texas GOP calls for legislative action over illegal alien settlement. Like, what does the government have the power to do? Because I'm under the impression that, like, anything I try to do, the government is there breathing down my neck. If I don't, you know, dot my I's and cross my T's, they'll swoop in with, like, armed agents and take my child away. Like, the government has ridiculous powers whenever they want them. But in this case, there's like, nothing we can do. I don't know. I mean, it's a giant multi-million dollar land development deal that's explicitly for people that don't belong in our country so they can get loans without even having a social security number. And we just can't do anything about it. I don't know. We just can't do anything about this, apparently. Why not? Why can we not shut this whole thing down tomorrow? Of course we can. We're choosing not to. I'm telling you, I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, what does the government have the power to do? Like, the government just does whatever it wants, right? Like, where is the law that allows the United States government to actually destroy our own border security to allow an influx of migrants? Where's the legislative decision that said that we don't have a migration strategy anymore, that our border is open and that anybody can? Has that ever been passed through the legislature? No, of course not. They're doing it, though. They are doing that. So when does the government decide it has power and when it doesn't have power? When it's convenient to the powers that be, their hands are tied. Gee, I don't know. I mean, I wish we could stop a literal multi-million dollar colony being built in our backyard, but I don't know. It doesn't say that we can, so I guess we can. So I guess we better let this happen. And then when it's like, we want to let everybody in, and then suddenly the law is sort of malleable. It's sort of like whatever you interpret it to be. It's like whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, because this is all just blatant corruption that we're seeing at work here, and to a degree that is genocidal, and that's not too far of a big of a word after all. Just think about, like, now colonizer is like a term that's supposed to be an insult towards white people, right? This idea that white people went to places like South Africa where you had like 1,000 goat herders living in 18 billion acres, and they like built colonies, built their own structures, built their own communities there, traveling 10,000 miles on wooden ships to do it. And that's evil. That's horrible. That's very wrong, apparently. Some reason it's virtuous when it's the American government paying for foreigners and illegals to settle in our country by the tens of millions. This is good now. Colonization is good because we deserve it, I guess, right? And that's what it really always boils down to. They're just like, yeah, well, this is the chickens coming home to roost. And it's like, okay, so first you like to dress it up as if this is virtuous and it's good for everybody. And, well, you're just helping people out. And this isn't bad at all. But then you're like, actually, no, this is terrible for us. And they're like, yeah, we know, actually. Actually, that's the whole point. Actually, we hate you and want to destroy you. And if we dress it up by calling these people refugees, then you'll let us do it without complaining too much. That's really what it boils down to. So this colony, this literal colony, this outpost of the foreign nations in our own country, it's called Colony Ridge. And, you know, that radio, whoever that was that was interviewing Ken Paxton is like, they say it's got the connections to Gulf and Sinaloa cartel. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to look into it or anything, but like that's what people are saying. It's like, yeah, well, maybe you should look into it and see that that's absolutely true. It's undeniably true. And that the Gulf and Sinaloa cartels are like intimately involved in every step of this human trafficking scheme that you call the immigration program. The development has long been associated, Colony Ridge, colony, right? It's a colony there, like, just name it like Mexican colony. Like, just name it that. You might as well just be upfront about it. Has long been associated with Gulf and Sinaloa cartels. In 2013, 300 acres of Liberty County lands were used to host the largest and most sophisticated marijuana growing operation in U.S. history. The area broke another record in July 2021 when the Drug Enforcement Agency raided a multi-million dollar methamphetamine manufacturing lab in Colony Ridge. Ah, but we can't do anything about it, though. We can't do anything about, like, stopping this from happening. They're just going to keep doing it, and we have to call it a special legislative session to deal with the fact that we're literally being colonized out in the open, right in front of everybody. And what this might have something to do with is the fact that Greg Abbott has received millions and millions of dollars from the people building this Colonial Ridge settlement. Here's just a little page of contributions. You can see here, Colony Ridge Development has donated $300,000 to Greg Abbott on multiple occasions. In 2019, 2021, 2022, again in 2022, one all the way back in 2018, another in 2020. I'm sure this has continued. $300,000, $300,000, $100,000, $100,000, all to Greg Abbott. Maybe that's why this is allowed to continue. Maybe Greg Abbott wants to pad his funding, pad his bank account, and so he's allowing the outright colonization of the state that he's the governor of. I mean, are we going to do anything about this? Yeah, anti-colonial solidarity means attack. Make colonizers afraid again. Okay. Yeah, okay. Now, am I Antifa now? Let's make colonizers afraid again. I'm anti-colonizer. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that? Am I covered by the schizophrenic nature of our leftist media? If I'm like, yeah, colonizers deserve to be attacked and killed. Like, if I agree with Antifa, am I good now? Now the colonizers aren't white. So shoot, now I'm a hate speech violent guy. Darn it. Whoops. Now here's what it's really all about. And of course they make this argument themselves. It's about destroying white people. Now, white people, as you can see in this map, tend to actually value and support and agree with God-given rights that are enumerated in our Constitution. So this is a set of American maps. It says, how would the electoral map look if only blank voted? And you see here, people of color, the entire map is blue. Not one red state on the entire map. Everybody is voting for more government, stronger government, more centralization, more benefits, more give outs, more handouts, more control, more censorship, more surveillance, just all of that that comes along with bigger government, the elimination and slow degradation of our rights and freedoms and liberties tend to get voted for by people of color. Now, a similar sort of map takes place when you have just women voting, but every other situation is completely red almost. White women, white people, college-educated whites, non-college-educated whites, or white men, the whole map is red, meaning the whole map votes for smaller government, votes for, you know, determining, and this actually says, the reason I didn't break down the people of color vote into various groups by gender, ethnicity, or education level is that no matter how I broke it down, it's always 100% blue. 100%. That's not even the case with you know, the other way around, where like if you do just do white people, you still have a couple states going blue. A little bit of variation there. Not so much when it comes to non-whites, non-European natives, basically. And so, of course, this is happening in America and Europe as well. I know I'm a big bad white supremacist for thinking that maybe a nation or ethnicity shouldn't be utterly and completely destroyed because its people refuse to submit to greater centralized control. I know that makes me a bad person advocating for the continued survival of an entire race, but hey, I'm willing to take that on. I'm willing to take those being called those names because I actually care about myself and my family. And by the way, I'm a minority. In Texas, white people are there's less white people than there are Hispanics. Then you, I mean, you combine non-white people and we're like a tiny minority. But I'm a minority. I deserve minority protection. I'm speaking out as a minority, speaking out for minority rights, which, as we know, leftists are very happy to champion, except, of course, that I'm white. So, darn it, I don't get that. I don't get that leeway. And here, like, would you rather have a smaller government providing fewer services or a bigger government providing more services? The general population is about split down the middle, with 48% wanting smaller government, 41% wanting bigger government. But amongst Hispanics, that drops to 19% wanting smaller government and 75% wanting bigger government. Hispanics by generation, that 12% turns to 22%, turns to 36%. So third and higher generation of Hispanics. So maybe 50, 60 years from now, they'll still be voting for more government by 58 to 36%. See, I'm just looking at the numbers, just like the people that are responsible for this influx of migrants are looking at these numbers. They're doing it because these numbers exist and because these numbers fall this way. It's not an accident. You can look at it here with other races, although it's cut off a little bit. We'll show you this on the other side because it keeps going. It's white genocide on purpose. They want control. White people don't like to be controlled, so get rid of the white people. It's pretty simple algebra there. All right, folks. We will move on. We will. We really will. There's a lot of other stuff to talk about. But this is sort of like the biggest, most important thing right now. The immigration crisis. Crisis upon crisis, right? And, it's sort of beyond debate at this point what the purpose of this is. And again, it all goes back to control. And it's really easy to see how this works, right? The thing that we reference all the time from the Smithsonian, where it's like aspects of white culture. They're like, what is white culture? What is whiteness? It's self-sufficiency. It's being on time. It's being respectable and responsible. It's like all these good things, right? It's like, okay, so you want to destroy whiteness. And to you, whiteness means like independence and liberty and freedom and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and all of these nice, wonderful things that our country was built on. And so do a little algorithmic, math here. And it's like, okay, if you hate X and X is freedom and liberty and not being controlled by the government, you hate not being controlled. You hate people not being controlled by the government. You hate the historical heritage that Europeans created and crafted over thousands of years of not being controlled by despots and tyrants. That's what you're trying to destroy. You're trying to destroy the people so you can destroy the idea. I think I understand. I think I get it now. Here's another little example of this from Pew Research. Asians, blacks, Hispanics, and whites polled on gun control, and whites are the only ones who prefer protecting gun rights over protecting the rights or controlling guns, gun control, right? Asians are the biggest discrepancy, with only 17% wanting to protect the Second Amendment, while 77% think gun control is good. Blacks aren't much better, 25% versus 73%. Hispanics are 28% versus 69%. Whites are the only ones who still seem to value, you know, self-protection, independence, you know, the Second Amendment and all of the virtues that undergird it. So again, that's sort of what it's all about. And I'm not the one saying this. Actually, they are. They actually announced this. And you can see story after story where they're like, Maine is the whitest state in the union. What can be done about that? Right? Like New Hampshire has a lowest number of the lowest diversity. How can we solve that problem? Right. So to them, like having a majority white people, that's like a problem to be solved. So that's what they announced. That's what they're telling you. Frankly, it's stupid for you to ignore when they tell you that sort of thing. Keith Woods on Twitter, at Keith Woods YT, says almost all the U.S. states that receive the most refugees are disproportionately white. Of the 20 whitest states, 15 are in the top 20 for per capita refugee settlement. Most are disproportionately rural with fewer services. Why would they be targeted for refugee settlement? Very good question, Keith. You can see here the per capita distribution of migrants per 100,000 state population or just total. And it's the whitest countries in the union that are getting the biggest influx of migrants because it's on purpose, because it's a campaign of genocide, I hate to tell you. And it's not just that, right? And again, when you go back and you look at, like, when you reference what we were just talking about, this, like, smear, this blood libel of, like, colonizers, and, like, you're getting what you deserve being replaced in your own country because somebody else 1,000 years ago colonized Africa, so you have to die now. Like, doesn't really make sense when it comes to somewhere like Ireland, which itself has been a victim of colonization for nearly its entire existence. It sort of falls flat there. Kind of doesn't make any sense, actually. You've got a place like Ireland, who itself has been colonized by the British for a very long time, up until very, very recently. And yet, they are receiving millions upon millions upon millions of migrants. They say migration threatens EU's open borders. Well, yeah, I mean, you can't really have, like, nice things if you don't know who your population is. If you're being invaded by tens of millions of foreigners, you can't have things like, you know, open borders. That's a nice little privilege that you have from being homogenized. Keith Woods again says, despite a housing crisis, Ireland continues to admit record numbers of migrants. 141,600 entered the country in the last year, adding almost 3% to the population. And they want 100%. Like, Ireland is a nation of about 5 million people. Of course, it's significantly more now because of the Africans that are coming in. But there's story after story in mainstream Irish publications where they're like, we need 5 million migrants in the next 10 years. Okay, you're a population of 5 million, but you want 5 million migrants? Do I have to do the math? This is a replacement migration. This is genocide taking place. Adjusted for size, this is the equivalent of the United States taking in 9 million immigrants a year. 9 million immigrants a year. That's going towards Ireland. Because, of course, Ireland just wants it, I guess. And, of course, they also say, when it comes to Ireland, that it's necessary to upkeep the pension system because, see, the central banks have implemented worldwide Social Security schemes that are Ponzi schemes that are predicated on the impossibility of infinite growth. So it's forced the hand, I guess you could say, of these countries to bring in millions upon millions of people, because if you actually go out of your way to crush the fertility rate of the people in your country through poisoning the water, through mental poisoning, through, like, convincing women to put off having babies because it's oppressive to be a mother. Like, when you have all these programs that drastically diminish your population replacement in terms of fertility, you have to bring in millions of people from the outside. Unfortunately, that kind of runs into trouble when you have a place like Sweden or France that welcomes in all these millions of people on the basis of the argument that they will fill the coffers of the Social Security Ponzi scheme that's been imposed on everybody, and then none of them actually work, and they all go on welfare, and then they don't have any money, and so then France and Sweden have to raise the retirement age, so you can't even retire and take advantage of the Ponzi scheme, Social Security, because you're having to pay for all of the migrants that aren't contributing to it. So, I mean, this is a scam. It's all a giant scam. I don't know if I have to lay it out for you like this. It should be obvious, but there it is. Ireland's population surges after highest immigration figures for almost two decades. And by the way, this is totally and completely undemocratic as the entire Brexit argument was about immigration. They had to fight tooth and nail to leave the EU, and yet they've never left, and they're still getting immigration, and it's actually higher than ever before. This is a YouGov poll that says, do Brits think that immigration has been too high or too low for the last 10 years? And a super majority, or at least 63%, sort of steady majority there, thinks it's way too high. So as we spend hundreds of billions of dollars to fight for democracy, so-called, in Ukraine, democracy is utterly and completely ignored in the rest of Europe, where immigration is forced on the citizens despite their overwhelming disapproval of those policies. We are moving on. We have moved on from the migration topics. We keep going. Literally spend all day, every day on that topic. They're all just full on invasion taking place. But that's just one of the ways that we're being attacked, one of the ways that we're being targeted for destruction. So we'll move on to some other stuff here. I mean, just some of these headlines are, well, they give you a good idea of where we are as a nation, where we are as a human, as the human race. Now, I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls in the third hour. So stay tuned for that. Of course, go to InfoWarsStore.com to support what we're doing here, which is just trying to put into perspective some of what's going on. And it's like you can look at Fox News or any of these other right-wing outlets, and they'll talk about immigration, and they'll talk about what's happening in Eagle Pass, or the fact that Venezuelans are like conquering territory, planting their own flag on the Rio Grande. But how many of them are tying it into the globalist scheme? I guess that's our role here, to try in some way to illustrate how none of these things are disseparate. None of these things are independent of one another. Everything we're dealing with here is part of a unified attack by the central bank-funded global government that already exists and is already in operation, but is working to consolidate and formalize its control of the human population. Immigration is not so much about voting practices. Like, I'll point out how, you know, ideologically, the people that they're attacking and the people they're destroying are being slated for destruction exactly because they have a historical and a genetic disposition to liberty and freedom, because that goes against the control that they're demanding. But they're sort of over voting. Like, they've got voting on lock. We can tell by what they've did in 2020, like, voting is not really an issue for them anymore. But it is about eliminating anybody that will stand up to them, that will oppose them physically or through information. That's why we've been slated for destruction. That's why they've come after us as hard and as often and as brutally as they have. But we're still standing thanks solely to your support. So we will continue to connect the dots. We'll continue to not just report on the individual events that are occurring, but try in some way to draw them together and help people realize that none of this is disseparate. None of this is by accident. None of this is happening outside of the agenda, because there is an agenda. It is actually being carried out in front of all of our eyes. Until you realize the full scope and scale of this, how are you going to oppose it? InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to support us. It's the only way we get support. And we do thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I know I speak for the crew in this when I say thank you for keeping us on the air. Now, do we censor clip number 14? All right. So I want to go to this, because this is Matt Baker in front of the UN building in San Diego, delivering a devastating speech that really breaks down the whole operation, why this is going on, how it's being coordinated, orchestrated. Just does it in a way that only Matt Baker can. Dreadlock Alex Jones absolutely demolishes the UN's whole little scheme here. Here is, and you can find and share this on Twitter. Please do. Here's Matt Baker at the United Nations building in San Diego this weekend.
I want to say to everybody out there, to all the people in all the countries, we love every single one of you. We love Venezuela. We love Mexico. We love Ukraine. We even love Russia. We love Africa. We love all of the beautiful people of all of the beautiful nations of the world. What is a nation? It is a country with people and culture and borders that has nothing to do with what the United Nations wants to do. The United Nations is an international cartel that wants to create a one world government, not a bunch of individual nations. They don't want you to have your own language. They don't want you to have your own culture. They don't want you to have your own right to what goes inside your body. They want to take your children away and tell you that they can cut their penises off, pardon my French, because they say they know better than you. The United Nations is a fraud. They have no intentions of any one nation ever standing. They want to bring in a one world government in the biblical sense. They want to bring in a mark of the beast through a digital currency. So the digital currency will be tracked and traced. You will not spend anything, buy or sell, on this planet unless these scumbags tell you it's okay. If they tell you you've spent too much carbon, then you won't be able to buy or sell. If you don't take a vaccine, you won't be able to buy or sell. We did not elect these people. We are Americans and we have our own rights. And you in Zambia, you have your own rights. And you in Africa have your own rights. And the Australian people have their own rights and their own cultures. But they do not want that. They want a one world government. That's what they want. That's all they want. They have a one world government treaty. They have a world pandemic treaty, which is going to supersede every single constitution on the planet next time in case there might be another pandemic, in case Fauci might be cooking up another one in the Wuhan lab. Remember, everyone said that that was a conspiracy theory? It turned out to be true, didn't it? What about the conspiracy theory that the vaccines weren't going to work? That turned out to be true, too, didn't it, people? And what about the masks? We locked down for 2 years. Did that stop it? No, we're still here. What we need is our God-given immune system. We need the ability to have our own borders, our own cultures, our own languages, and not be ruled by an international banking cartel run by the United Nations, run by Klaus Schwab and his bastards like Yuval Noah Harari, who say free will is over on planet Earth, and they want to put a microchip in your head. It's not a conspiracy theory anymore now, people, is it? Are we just making this stuff up still? Are we just making up the fact that the vaccines don't work? Are we making up the fact that the borders are open? Are we making up the fact that they're going to force you to put whatever they want in your body? And who says it? The American government? The African government? No, it's the United Nations. Sorry for my French.
Just incredible. Just incredible stuff. And, you know, be a global citizen with the United Nations Association San Diego. You ready to be a global citizen? Are you ready to be a subject of the unelected global government? Because newsflash, you kind of already are. We kind of already have one of these. It's just right now operating in a mafia. And it's like Michael Corleone at the end of Godfather saying, 5 years, we'll have this whole thing be legitimate. See, right now they're doing it clandestinely. They're doing it in the background. They're doing it quietly. They have suggestions from the World Economic Forum and these centralized government think tanks. But soon it'll be out in the open. Soon they'll be bragging about the central government that right now they call a conspiracy. In the same way that, remember, they called the migrant caravans a conspiracy. They called that a conspiracy theory. By the way, the Statue of Liberty is sort of the perfect illustration of something that's been hijacked. It's supposed to mean lighting the world. It's not supposed to be an invitation. All right, folks, we have some breaking news here. This is the War Room. Harrison Smith sitting in for Owen Schroyer. InfoWarsStore.com is how you support us. InfoWars.com/show. Share that link. Band.video. However you can help us get the word out. This is an information war. We have some breaking information here for you. Hunter Biden got $250,000 from China in bank transfers that listed Joe's Delaware home as the address. Top Republicans claim after obtaining bombshell bank records. Joe Biden's Delaware home was listed as the beneficiary address on two wire transfers Hunter Biden received from China, a top Republican says. It's got to be nice. That's got to be nice. Just getting $250,000 at a time from China as a crack-addled whoremonger. That's got to be nice, right? It's like most people work their whole lives toiling day in and day out. Hardly even make $250,000. Hunter Biden's just like having it sent directly to his crack dealer. It's incredible. House Oversight and Accountability Chairman James Comer said he obtained banking records through a subpoena that showed Hunter received payments from Beijing while Joe was vice president. The records state that Joe's Wilmington, Delaware home was listed as the beneficiary address. Yeah, but wasn't he? But he was renting a room from Joe for $50,000 a month, then or something, right? Right. I mean, he was renting. No, very seriously, right? I mean, Hunter Biden was paying the very reasonable rent for a room in his father's house of $30,000 or $50,000 a month. Definitely not laundering money. No. All on the up and up. Insane. One of the wire transfers was allegedly from Jonathan Lee, the Chinese national Hunter supposedly threatened over WhatsApp while Joe was in the room. The GOP released the latest evidence in the investigation just 2 days before Republicans held their first impeachment inquiry hearing. Bank records don't lie, but President Joe Biden does, Comer said on Tuesday night. Joe Biden's Delaware home was listed as the beneficiary address on two wire transfers they received from China. That's the headline there. But of course, you know, he's no Donald Trump. I mean, after all, Donald Trump, didn't file his payoff to a porn star under the payoff to a porn star column. So, you know, he's basically worse. He's not just as bad. He's worse, actually. Again, is it just about demoralizing us? Like, is it really all just about that? The fact that Joe Biden is like a incestuous pedophile. Like, is it just funny to them? Do they just think it's funny that he's the president? Surely they could have found somebody else this corrupt. This is actually two wire transfers, I guess. You know, thankfully, the courts are focused on the real thing. New York judge rules Trump committed fraud and lied about his net worth for years. It turns out his apartment was bigger than he said it was. So, you know, we know who the real bad guy is here. Sure, Joe Biden is taking $250,000 bribes from China while vice president, but I think that pales in comparison to Trump bragging about the size of his apartment building. Yeah, there it is. Hunter Biden listed $50,000 monthly rent payments while living at father's residence. See, I know what I'm talking about. Joe's tax returns show less in rents received. This really is the craziest thing, and we haven't gotten to talking about crime yet. But that's another situation where you have this. We need a word for it. I don't know what the word would be. But it's where, like, the way this is sort of treated is as if, like, well, the Republicans are corrupt and the Democrats are corrupt, but it's only the Republicans that pay for it. But the reality is that it's so one-sided, it's so unbalanced. And so it's not just like, they do this and we do this, but we get punished and they don't. It's like if you're a Democrat, you can throw a Molotov cocktail into a police car. You can burn down a library. and you won't even be arrested. Like, if you do get arrested, you'll be out the next day, a little slap on the wrist, like $500 fine that's paid for by some billionaire and their, you know, Antifa fund that they're running. But if you're a Republican and you walk through the open doors of the Capitol and high-five the police on the way in, you're going to jail for life. Again, it's not like, well, they threw a Molotov cocktail and we threw a Molotov cocktail, but we're the only ones that are... No, no. We don't do anything wrong. We get punished. They are just explicitly and continuously evil and nothing happens, right? So you can apply that to just about everything that we're talking about here, right? Donald Trump got to be the least corrupt person with $1 billion in America, right? You don't make $1 billion in America without being kind of a scumbag. Trump just like, literally, I mean, the things they're charging him for, it's like he called the Georgia, he called his lawyer to get the number for the Georgia Secretary of State. He's going to go to jail for 100 years for that, right? Joe Biden is getting $50,000 bribes a month from his son, who's making $250,000 income for selling out to China. Like, it's so unbalanced. It's so one-sided how this goes. It really is beyond description. When it comes to, you know, crime that we'll talk about in just a second, again, it's like, it's not just like, well, black people commit crime, white people commit crime, but only the white people are the ones who are called the danger, you know, domestic terrorist and whatever. It's like, actually, it's completely one side of the opposite direction. Just everything is inverted. It's not just wrong, it's inverted. It's not just unbalanced, it's completely backwards. It's completely reversed. So you've got Trump, literally, I guess the trial starts on Monday. New York judge ruled that the attorney general's $250 million lawsuit against Donald Trump and his company ruled Tuesday that the former president committed repeated act of fraud for years. Why? Well, because his apartment wasn't as big as he said it was, and he overvalued some assets while undervaluing others. Well, lock him up, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the vice president of the United States is receiving direct wire transfers and then bragging about the fact that he's using his influence to get rid of a prosecutor that's investigating the company that's sending him the money through his son. Like, which one of these is being focused on by the federal government? Which one of these is being focused on by the law enforcement agencies? It's not just that they do one thing and we do one thing and it's treated differently. It's they are endlessly corrupt. We are not. They continually get away with it and are not punished. We continually are. House Oversight Committee James Comer had been investigating the Biden family business dealings. As part of the investigation, Comer subpoenaed financial records related to specific bank accounts and received records of two wires originating from Beijing, China, and linked to BHR Partners. BHR Partners is a joint venture between Hunter Biden's Rosemont Seneca and Chinese investment firm Bohai Capital. BHR Partners is a Beijing-backed private equity firm controlled by the Bank of China Limited. Hunter Biden sat on the board of directors of BHR Partners. The first wire sent to Hunter, dated July 6, 2019, was for $10,000 from an individual named Miss Wang Xin. There was a Miss Wang Xin listed on the website for BH Partners. It's unclear if the wire came from that Wang Xin. The second wire transfer sent to Hunter Biden, dated August 2, 2019, was for $250,000 from Li Jiang Shen, known as Jonathan Li, CEO of BHR Partners, and Miss Tan Ling. The committee's trying to identify Ling's role. The beneficiary for the wires is listed as Robert Hunter Biden with the address 1209 Barley Mill Road in Wilmington, Delaware. That address is the main residence for Joe Biden. Comer and the House Oversight Committee have obtained bank records as part of their investigation into the Hunter Biden family and their business associates receiving receiving millions of dollars from oligarchs in Russia, Ukraine, Romania, Kazakhstan during the Obama administration. Fox News Digital also learned that the committee has records revealing that from 2014 to 2019, the Biden family and their associates received $24 million in foreign payments, $15 million to the Bidens and $9 million to the business associates, $4 million more than previously known. Remember, they get on Trump for, like, making deals with foreign nations when he was, you know, building skyscrapers there. What is the Biden family business? Somebody answer me that question. What is the Biden family business? What buildings do they build? What services do they provide? The only thing they do is provide access to the political power of the Bidens. That's their one and only trade. That's their one and only service they provide, is selling out the American people for hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah, we'll be right back. Harrison Smith sitting in for Owen Schroyer today. Battling the New World Order and their scheme to destroy the Western world. I'm going to go to a video here. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. Still a lot to talk about, especially in the realm of international conflicts. But also just, the growing threat of AI, the robotic soldiers that will be enforcing the dictates of the global government, as well as just the utter failure of the Bidens to be anything but a corrupt, embarrassing mess. Oh, and also, like, all of the stuff that we've been sending to Ukraine for the last, like, however many years is it all got blew up by Russia. So we'll go to that, too. We'll talk about all of that and more. First, I want to go to this mother talking about the education system and how far off the mark it's truly gotten. Clip number 13. This mother, it's absolutely amazing. Let's watch.
Good God bless this mother. Watch this.
Hello, everyone. I've been coming here for 5 years now, and I was going to talk to you about some practical things that I thought you could change about 3210, but I've changed my mind. I've been really confused over the last 5 years as to why we spend 45 minutes to an hour of every public meeting talking about how great everyone is and how great everything is in the schools, and now I've figured it out. I figured it out because all these people came here to defend you all from hurtful words. This is obnoxious. Let me just say, there is one goal for the educational system. It should be to prepare children to enter careers, to be productive members of society. It is not a counseling session. It is not a self-help area. It is not somewhere to find yourself. And we should not be led by the children, for goodness sake. The children are called dependents for a reason. They depend on us who have fully developed brains. You cannot feel your way through life. The issues that we are talking about, we are bringing you statistics. We are talking about scholastics. We are talking about funding. We are talking about busing. We are talking about trying to figure out how to make our children be as successful as possible. And I am sure that that is your goal. And what we have been called tonight is what they're claiming that we're saying to children. We're having an adult conversation. There are not children in this room. We aren't going into the schools and calling them names. They call us Marxists and hateful and bigots and everything else under the sun. Well, let me tell you, less than 5% of the entire population of North Carolina identifies as LGBTQ. You guys all claim you want democracy. Well, you know what democracy is? It's the majority plus one. It's 50 plus one. You know what? More than 50% of the people in this state claim that they believe in God, Almighty God, who made us male and female, God who made marriage between a man and a woman, God who said that we must protect our children. The fact that we can stand up here and we know, we can brag about all of the wonderful graduations, but we know the statistics. 50% of children did not pass their end of grade test. What are we celebrating? We have children coming up here telling us how horrible the mental health crisis is. Why? Most of us went to public school, and all of our peers are not in mental health crises. We have to ask ourselves, what are we doing to our children? I'm going to say, we are discussing things with them that they are not emotionally, intellectually, and morally able to handle. That is what is causing the anxiety. That is what is causing the depression. That is what is causing the confusion. We need our children to be able to be children, to be able to be innocent, to be able to enjoy childhood and not know all of the drama and all of the difficulties in adult life. That is what we want. We want our children to be able to read and write and to think for themselves. And we demand that the children who fear God are protected in your schools.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. nothing to add. We'll be back on the other side of this very brief commercial break. Take your phone calls and delve into the international realm. Still so much to talk about, and I want to hear from you. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. The number to dial, 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. We are standing by to take your calls on this Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening here. Coming to you live from the InfoWars studio. I have the feeling we're going to get a call from one Simon from Florida. He wants to talk about this new white paper from China. I'm just hearing about this. We can get into that with him. China's State Council Information Office released a white paper titled "A Global Community of Shared Future, China's Proposals and Actions," against the backdrop of the 10th anniversary of President Xi Jinping's proposal of building a global community of shared future. China has introduced the theoretical base practice and development of a global community of shared future and points the way towards a better future for the world. Interesting. So, I mean, what's happening here is that the powers that be are spiking the cannons of the West as they decamp for China. That's essentially what's happening here. They have gotten all they can. They've squeezed the fruit of the Western world, gotten all of its juice, and are now discarding the husk. Hard to think this is anything except for that. Meanwhile, this is also some breaking news the crew brought me. Russian forces destroyed depot with 3,000 tons of ammo in a huge blast, and two Ukrainian MiG-29 fighters destroyed in attacks the MSM don't want you to see. Gateway Pundit published this just a few minutes ago. There is but one front in which the Ukrainian counteroffensive is being very successful, the mainstream media. There, the complete failure of the counteroffensive is but a minor inconvenience as they chronicle every minor skirmish as a triumph for Kiev and every successful missile attack as the beginning of the end for Moscow. The reality is that there is a war of positional battles going on, a situation in which the Russian war of attrition will always be victorious as they have more guns, tanks, ammo, and manpower. In the last few days, Russians have continued depleting Ukrainian infrastructure in ways that will turn the inter into a bitter experience. I don't know what that sentence means. And also disrupting logistics and the troop and equipment accumulations of the rear. While the Russian pressure is on at the northern front, now there's also expectation that things may begin to move in the south on Kherson Oblast at the Dnieper River Delta and maybe even east toward Odessa. On Monday, the 25th, Russian Defense Ministry reported that a cruise missile struck a joint weapons and ammunition warehouse of the Ukrainian armed forces in the Kiselevka area of the Kherson region. Sputnik reported the Russian forces launched a cruise missile strike at the joint ammunition depot of the Ukrainian troops, destroying more than 3,000 tons of ammo. Good Lord. Apparently there's video of this. Is that what we're seeing behind me? Yeah, can we bring that up on screen? I want to see the explosion here. They tend to back up their statements with evidence. So 3,000 tons of ammo destroyed in a single strike. As a result of the strike and subsequent detonation, 12 hangars were destroyed in which more than 3,000 tons of ammunition of various calibers were stored, the ministry said. The burning debris field was visible to extend for miles around. As a result of the strike and subsequent detonations, 12 hangars were destroyed. Such strikes have now become more frequent because the focus is now being placed on weakening UAF ability to conduct intense warfare. Boris Rozhin, a military expert with the Center for Military Political Journalism. Meanwhile, the attacks on airfields have intensified, but you would never know that by reading the MSM. Russian aerospace forces have destroyed a MiG-29 airplane of Ukrainian Air Force at the Kolbakino airfield in Nikolaev Oblast. Wherever Russian long-range missile strikes are prepared, the Kiev performs a timely withdrawal of aircraft from the target An alternative solution was found to destroy enemy aircraft. The previous destruction of the Ukrainian MiG-29 fighter at the Dolginstovig air base near somewhere else could be the first demonstration of the updated Lancet drone with a range of action of 70 kilometers. So I think what they need is another $100 billion. I think what we should be doing is spending more American taxpayer money into keeping this absolutely nonsensical and destructive war of attrition going. It's total nonsense. I guess while we're on it, talk a little bit more about warfare here. A bizarre change, a turn of events with that Nazi honored by the Canadian Parliament. The Canadian Speaker has resigned after honoring Nazi, who's now wanted for extradition by the Polish minister. Well, that turned around pretty quick, didn't it? Okay. Incredible. This guy named Hunka, it's a 98-year-old Ukrainian-Canadian who served with the Nazi SS Galician formation in World War II. He was hailed as a Ukrainian hero and a Canadian hero by Justin Trudeau's government days ago. He received a standing ovation in the House of Commons as Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky looked on and cheered. Now, Polish education minister has announced on Tuesday he's taken steps to initiate the extradition of Hunka to Poland for possible war crimes. Well. What a twist. What a twist to this. A little overreaction, I think. I don't know. Bit of a overreaction, in my opinion. 98-year-old dude, but this is what they do, right? You've got 98-year-olds in Germany being charged on war crimes when they were like 15 and forced to participate as Nazi recruits at the end of the war. Now at 98 years old, they're a threat to society, I guess, and are being thrown in prison. I can't agree with that. Trudeau has come out with one of the most bizarre statements about this occurrence. Let's go now to clip number 11. Here's Trudeau talking about the fact that his parliament stood and gave a standing ovation to a Nazi. Let's watch.
Obviously, it's extremely upsetting that this happened. The speaker has acknowledged his mistake and has apologized. But this is something that is deeply embarrassing to the Parliament of Canada and, by extension, to all Canadians.
You got that right.
I think particularly of Jewish MPs and all members of the Jewish community across the country who are commemorating Yom Kippur today. I think it's going to be really important that all of us push back against Russian propaganda, Russian disinformation, and continue our steadfast and unequivocal support for Ukraine we did last week with announcing further measures to stand with Ukraine in Russia's illegal war against it.
What does Russian disinformation have to do with this? I don't even know what to say about it. Like, this is all just so stupid to me. But there's like this like schizophrenic, just like mentally unstable aspect to the leaders of the world, if you want to call them that. Where it's just like one day they're giving this guy a standing ovation, the next they're extraditing him for war crimes. It's like, but we're still going to keep funding the Ukrainians in the war who are open Nazis with the swastika tattoos and the, you know, Nazi symbolism. So that funding is still going, but we're going to throw the 98-year-old guy in jail, and now the Speaker of the House is stepping down for celebrating the guy that's the army guys. What? Apparently Stephen in Florida wants to sing a song attacking the LGBTQ movement. Okay. All right. Let's do that then. Thanks for calling in, Stephen from Florida. You're on the air. You have a song for us?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've been thinking about this. So, by the way, I appreciate you putting up that video of that mother addressing that school board. And this is what needs to happen more. People need to speak out and stop being worried about offending people and hurting their feelings and all this junk. This isn't about feelings. It's about what's right. And so with that in mind, I got I want to give you this. It's a cover of the Beach Boys song, I Wish They All Could Be California Girls. So here you go. Well, LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. That P is what their aim has always been. Predatory, pervert, pedophile. Take your drag queen freaks and your transgender tweaks and stick it where the sun doesn't smile. I've looked all through my Bible. It says God made them male and female. There ain't no Adam and Steve. It's when from God you leave, your plan will ultimately fail. I wish that God would end this wickedness today. Dear Lord, help me to do my part and end this today. That's it.
That was pretty good, Steve. That was pretty good. I like that quite a bit. Actually, a pretty good singer, Steven.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, Harrison, I got to tell you, you know, you're a dad. I've got 7 children, and I'll tell you what, all mine are grown. I've got a couple of granddaughters. One's a teenager. The other one's still younger than that. But I don't care whether they're my kids or not. I try to be proactive in standing up for kids, period, because, you know, like that mother was pointing out, these kids are not emotionally and morally and spiritually developed and intellectually where they can handle the kind of stuff that's being thrown at them. And these evil people, you know, in the media, in the government, in the entertainment realm, et cetera, they know what they're doing, and in the medical realm now as well. Mm. They know what they're doing. They have an agenda. They want to tell these kids, you know, you're not really a boy, you're a girl, or vice versa, because you have certain feelings. And, you know, we all go through that in our development. But they want to play on these kids and manipulate them into something that God never intended for them. So this is why we who know the truth need to stand up for these kids, because they cannot stand up for themselves. And that starts with the ones in the womb, but it goes, you know, after birth as well. So I just encourage everybody out there, do what this woman has done. Stand up, you know, speak up, and then act up in a civilized, you know, forthright manner. But, you know, these kids, I'll end with this. Jesus said this: if you offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better that a millstone were hanged about your neck and you were drowned in the depths of the sea. If Jesus is that serious about our children, then how much more should we be?
I've never thought about it like that, but that is a very, very good point, Stephen. I completely agree with you. And, of course, there's a couple aspects to this, because you're exactly right. And it's not a matter, you know, the way it's presented is like as if, you know, the massive increase in, you know, LGBT identifying people is because finally it's not taboo to be this way or whatever. As if like in the 50s, half of the children were really gay but had to just repress it, you know, out of shame or something. Like, it's completely ridiculous. It's an absurd notion for them to put across. And the reality is that it doesn't matter whether the society or the family or the individuals approve of what's going on or disapprove of what's going on. It's human psychology that like kids get messed up by this stuff like really badly for their entire lives. And there have been cases. There was a case in New Zealand where like the parents were working on this philosophy that like, well, if we just are open about our sexuality and we have a culture here that's open about it, then it's all fine. And like the kids won't be repressed and sexually repressed because we're just so open about it. They were like swingers and they would like hold parties and let their kids watch and just thinking that they're going along with this like leftist liberal idea that's like, no, it's not the introduction of sexuality that messes kids up. It's the repressive, you know, shame that they feel from their culture, from their society, you know, shaming them for it. And like the kids eventually had to be taken away from these parents because the kids were like molesting other kids in school and like wetting themselves. And like it mentally destroys kids to be introduced to this stuff, to have their innocence shattered at such a young age. It doesn't matter whether whether it's done in a nice, happy, pedophilic atmosphere or whether it's done in shame and quiet. It doesn't matter. It messes kids up for life. They're not ready to deal with this sort of stuff. On top of that, I mean, what you're pointing out about how like all kids go through this and to then take kids who are uncertain, who are going through changes, who are coming into consciousness in the world and just trying to latch on to something real and tangible because everything's confusing at a young age, to weaponize that. And I just think about people in my own life, like women that I know that are mothers now and are so like feminine and you know, came into their own. But in middle school, they were awkward. They were tomboys. Like I know for a fact, my wife is one of them, right? You see pictures of her as in middle school. She's got like a backwards cap on. She's just like covered in mud, wearing like basketball shorts. And just that's the type of girl she was. And I would just, it just, you know, boils my blood to imagine that if she were to be raised nowadays, that she would have had a school counselor like bringing her into an office and being like, oh, you're going through troubles, are you? Well, we have a solution for that. Don't tell your parents, but we'll start calling you a boy and then you'll be cool and then people will be nice to you. And like to weaponize the social discomfort people feel or the physical discomfort they feel in their own changes, it's so sick and wrong and disgusting. It's hard to even fathom. So, I mean, you're so right about all this. And even when you say, like, don't worry about insulting these people, do they care about insulting you? Do they bother, like, phrasing things in a way that's comports with your self-image? Or do they insult you with abandon any chance they get? Like, forget these people claiming to have the high ground. They are scumbags. They are degenerates. They are manipulating and destroying the minds of children for their own sexual satisfaction. It's horrifying. It's wrong. It's worse than we can even say. And I've got three headlines that I'll get into on the other side. Two of them from Europe and one of them from California. They'll let you know just how far this entire civilization has fallen on the altar of LGBTQ+. Thank you very much for that call, Stephen. We'll get to those articles and more of your phone calls on the other side. Stay with us. It's Infowars.com, band.video, The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Stay with us, and we'll get into, it's disturbing, but you need to know it because it could happen to your kid. I'll just read you a couple headlines here, then we'll go out to your phone calls from Redux.info. Germany, pro-prostitution picture book offered to children by government officials. City of Berlin has prompted outrage from locals after offering a graphic picture book on prostitution to children via one of its official websites. The book, titled Rosie Needs Money, good Lord, is advertised as a resource for youth aged 6 to 12 years old. According to Equal Opportunities Officer Kristen Drobik, the book is designed to explain prostitution to children of families residing in Red Light District of Berlin, known as the Kurfürstenstrasse. In the years in which Tiergarten Süd and Schönberger Norden neighborhood management offices dealt with the issue of street prostitution, and in many conversations with residents, this was one of the topics. What do I say to the child? The Tiergarten Süd district manager has faced this courageously, she says in her defense of the book. Rosie Needs Money is written from the perspective of a child named Miriam, whose family relocated to Germany from Syria. Miriam narrates as she and her equally young schoolmate, Martin, look for Rosie, a woman from Bulgaria who is in the sex trade. Wonderful. Well, that's wonderful. It's kind of like, you remember that children's book when you give a mouse a cookie? It's like when you give a Syrian a German address, they're going to become prostitutes, I guess. Weird. In the Netherlands, meanwhile, from Remix.news, a 9-year-old schoolgirl has been scolded for intolerance after complaining about having to change in front of a biological boy in the girls' changing room. Primary school in the Netherlands is facing calls to rethink its LGBT inclusivity policy after receiving complaints from the parents of a student who's refusing to use the girls' locker room after being confronted by a biological boy identifying as a girl using the same facility. The mother of the 9-year-old student at a Roman Catholic primary school told De Telegraaf newspaper how her daughter no longer feels comfortable attending gym classes because she's forced to change in the presence of a boy. My daughter came to me because she thought it was strange that a boy came into the dressing room. I've requested a meeting with the school to find a solution. The school, of course, told her she was undermining the school's inclusivity policy. If I wanted, I could receive information so I could understand the difficult situation that gender and sex diverse people face. Isn't that kind of exactly how this goes? You've got a 9-year-old little girl. It's just like, I don't want to get naked in front of the boys. The parents are like, why is my daughter afraid to go to gym class in your school? And they're like, don't worry. We will give you resources to help you understand the struggles that the little boy is going through. Don't worry. We'll educate you. We'll correct your wrongthink and why you need to be sympathetic towards the plight of the little boy who's watching your daughter undress. Meanwhile, California State Senator Scott Wiener praises street fair where men openly pee on each other in kiddie pools. So there you go. Do I need to expand on that? You want to hear more about that, do you? You want to hear more about what they're doing on the streets of California? What old Scott Wiener's up to? Well, he's writing a policy to take your kids away if you oppose him. He's writing policy to allow your child to have sex with a man and for the man not to be put on the sex registry. He's writing policy to allow gays to spread HIV to one another without telling each other on purpose and get away with it. And people keep voting for him. That's the craziest part. You know, I was listening to the Alex Jones show and Owen was hosting earlier today, and he was talking about like, yeah, we could be going to the moon. We could be harvesting. Like, we could be like actually like conquering nature and like expanding human knowledge and like doing all this stuff. But instead, like all of our money is going towards investigating the gay. That's what Owen kept saying. Just like we have to keep studying like how gay is this mouse? Like whatever these like ridiculous scientific studies are. You ever want a trip? Check out how many medical resources go towards homosexuals. It's like 50%. It's like half of the money that goes into the medical industry is because gay men are much more likely to be riddled with disease. Literally anybody in any hospital in America can tell you that they know exactly what I'm talking about. Just saying, I wonder how much cheaper, you know, like medical, taking the kids I nanny, ages 3, 6, 9, and 12, to the Folsom Street Fair at Flaming Hot Fun with a upside-down pentagram in his name. This is the guy that's just like, I teach preschool. Your kids belong to us, not to you. Pipe-laying expert. It's like you want to be tolerant, and then like the people that you're tolerating like really want to test you on it, don't they? They really want to put that tolerance to a test. We're like, hey, you know, your private life, none of my business. You know, what you do behind closed doors? And they're like, really? Because we're peeing on children in the street. It's like, oh, okay. Where's my flaming cross? My tolerance is gone now. I'm sorry. I'm suddenly militant. No, we're tolerant. Let's go out to your phone. Let's go out to your phone calls. It's just okay. I don't know. All right. I mean, whatever. Do what you want to do, freaks. Let's go to Matt in Kentucky. Matt in Kentucky wants to talk about the migrant crisis. Thanks for calling in, Matt. You're on the air about the migrant crisis. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Harrison? Man, I actually got into InfoWars because I found you on Twitter. And long story short, man, been listening to you every morning. So, but specifically that last hour, man, the last segment and then that next one was the most sobering 10 minutes in the car I've had in years. And then, you know...
Wait, today?
You talked about... Yeah, today. Like, you talking about the migrant crisis, that colony that they're building. Like, where does this end? Because, like you said, you know, Paxton's over there fighting for, you know, I guess they're trying to impeach him. So we're trying to protect him. Yeah, he says legally and lawfully we can't do anything about it. And unfortunately, we all think in the same thing. Like, we're not voting our way out of this. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. And just how these children are being groomed now to, you know, accept degeneracy and debauchery. We were groomed in growing up. You know, we're about the same age. I've got four kids. And I know you got your little one, so congrats. But we were always taught multiculturalism, cultural competency. I'm a pharmacist, so everything in school started being geared towards that. And I was kind of at the tail end when I graduated of when they actually started that. But I could see where it was going. And then, you know, it's all tied into the medical industry because you have the, like you said, the homosexuals and the HIV medications and all the other medications that go along with those, because those affect, you know, other body systems. You know, they're cash cows. And there's a million different things I could talk about. I want to call in every single morning. But, you know, where does this end? Do we wait until the migrant colony is built? I mean, are we waiting until there's hundreds of thousands of migrants and then Trump comes in and says, we're going to have the biggest deportation in the history? How are those people going to respond? How are those people going to respond across the world? The coordinated effort, it's diabolical. And the fact that they've gone so far as to pervert the children just tells me that there's something else at play, man. Like, it's, and we can look at who does it, you know, oh, well, these people are Nazis because they're, you know, they're forcing vaccines and all that. Well, the Nazis, they didn't promote degeneracy as far as pornography and, you know, transgenderism. So it's all the dialectical, man. It's problem, reaction, and solution. I just expect things, because the wheels are falling off, that things are going to get wild here in the next few weeks.
Man, that was a great call. That was a great call, Matt. I wish I had an answer. I'll think about it on the other side, and we'll go to this this last segment on the other side. Thank you so much for the call. I'll be back tomorrow morning for the American Journal. I'll also be posting our daily, we're called the Daily Dispatch, but basically just post all of the show notes on our Substack, harrisonhillsmith.substack.com. You can go to americanjournal.info and find links to that. There's a lot of stories that we haven't even been able to get to today, and that's my fault, but devastating risk of transitioning to green energy. Mining for electric powering minerals has left 23 million people exposed to toxic waste, 500,000 kilometers of rivers polluted, and 16 million acres of farmland ruined. Just again showing you the futility, the uselessness of the green movement as it destroys more than it can ever save. Majority of Americans continue to favor moving away from the Electoral College as they move us more and more towards a direct democracy, which is easier for them to control. And anybody outside of the big cities will be have their votes absolutely overwhelmed, which case basically California and New York will just pick our presidents from now on. Everybody else can just stay home. That is, if we even have elections, and we'll go to some calls about that. Biden's campaign secret mission for re-election, don't let him trip. Okay. Yeah, because that would ruin things, right? I mean, yeah, if you could see President Biden falling all over the place, that'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? It's just stop him from tripping every day. Maybe that's the solution. Maybe stop him from tripping every time he's in front of the camera. That'd be a start, wouldn't it? CIA building its own artificial intelligence tool in rivalry with China. U.S. intelligence agencies are getting their own ChatGPT-style tool to sift through an avalanche of public information for clues. Oh, they're looking for clues. Yeah, looking for conservatives to target for destruction. A lot of stuff to be found there on the Substack. So go to harrisonhillsmith.substack.com. And if you sign up, then you get the videos as well. It's like 60 videos a day we put up there. Now I have my phone's causing troubles here, but I wanted to Just look at this from Oilfield Rando on Twitter, responding to a disclose.tv headline that says Senate stopgap includes $4.5 billion for Ukraine. Oilfield Rando responds, Trump couldn't get $4.5 billion for a border wall. Zelensky gets $4.5 billion just to tide him over while the big payout gets approved. Senate GOP is wild. And let me just say, you know, in response to that last call that we got, that was very powerful, very good. Yeah, if you grew up in the 90s, you were sort of indoctrinated with multiculturalism on every level like that. That was when it really started ramping up. But the thing is that, like, I still believe most of that stuff, not because I was indoctrinated into it, but because so much of it is true. So much of it is real. So much of the, like, real, true American ideology is founded on this idea that all human beings are worthy and all human beings deserve freedom, but that they also have to shoulder the responsibility of that freedom. And it's not that these foundational virtues are wrong or bad. It's that they get taken to an extreme that makes them wrong or bad. In other words, I am completely still in favor of people not being judged by their appearance, by their physical attributes, by their immutable characteristics. Now, you can say I was indoctrinated into that, but I was also indoctrinated into Christianity, where you treat others as you'd like to be treated and where you recognize that every human being has a unique God-given soul of infinite value. Like, these things are it doesn't mean then I don't care about white people being targeted. Like, this is the weird thing, is that it's gone so far in that direction that it's gone beyond that direction, where it's gone beyond the bounds of, like, treat others as you would like to be treated, or, you know, tolerating lifestyles that you don't, that you think maybe are immoral or whatever. Like, when you actually stick to what those beliefs are saying, then you're good. And, like, that's what we stick to daily here. I really don't care if you're gay. I really, really, really don't. Not even a little bit. It really is true. Like, what you do in your bedroom, it's not my business. I don't care. I don't want to know about it. I don't care. That doesn't mean that I want my kid sitting on the lap of a man in a dress with a beard while he twerks. Like, that's ridiculous. That's not what that means. Yes, I believe that people of every race, color, and creed are of equal value in the eyes of God. That doesn't mean that I want white people replaced by brown people as some sort of penance for what some white people did 1,000 years ago. Like, that's ridiculous. That's retarded. That's not what that means. So it's not that, like, we have to give those things up. It's that we have to actually believe in the principles. If you don't actually have solid principles, they're liquid. It's just like, you can't stand on them, right? You can't stand on liquid principles, you drown. But you can stand on solid principles. And I can say, I don't think any group of people deserves to be coerced or destroyed. And guess what? I mean it when I say all people, which means I mean white people. So you've got these people who like to promote this idea, but only in so far as it serves their interest. And then when it comes to, like, targeting white people, then suddenly, like, racism's great. So, I don't know. I just, that's one of those things. It's like, yeah, I believe all people deserve a chance. I like that America can be a bastion for dissidents from other countries, for the disaffected, for people that are targeted for destruction by their own government. Fantastic. I love that we have a country that can be a safe harbor for that. Does that mean that 10 million Venezuelans get to cross the border? Does that mean that everybody in Africa that can afford a boat ticket gets to come in? No, obviously not. So I think if you stick to your principles in these things, they're still good. But the fact that they then indoctrinate you with that and then twist it to where you're advocating for your own destruction, that's where the evil seeps in. And we're against that. So I don't think we need to abandon those things I think we need to reassert our belief in the core values and not let them be taken advantage of in the way that they are now. But that's just me. Let's go out to your phone calls once again. James in Pennsylvania says there will be no election in 2024. I think you may be right on that, James. Troubling, but there it is. What do you have to say? Go ahead.
Thank you, Harrison. I don't even think that they're going to allow an election. They're going to launch their World War III, maybe even a fake alien invasion. I don't think that they're even going to let it get to that point. The support for Donald Trump is so overwhelming. And that's why they're pushing in the mainstream that, oh, he's leading by 10%. Oh, there's no hope. We're all going to have to live under the oppressive rule of Donald Trump. I was going to be a high school history teacher 2 years into college, and then I found out about the Common Core and what they wanted me to teach kids. Want to know what I did? I quit, and I ate that debt, and I paid it off and became a tradesman because I'm not going to indoctrinate children into the Common Core history that they wanted to push onto kids to make founding fathers look bad. Sorry, that's a hard no. And going forward now, they've reached the point where they're not going to let this happen. There's no way that they're going to let Donald Trump get back in power. I think that Biden will be set out the pasture. You're going to get Gruesome Newsom, and he's going to lead the way in World War III, and we're going to liberate Ukraine from Russian rule and blah, blah, blah. It's all a dog and pony show to hide what's really coming. New World Order, forced vaccines, Mark of the Beast, burn Bibles. They're already doing it now with all the pedophilia and garbage. I just can't stand it. It just makes me sick in my stomach.
100%. I wish I could disagree with you, but I actually agree with you 100%. I think World War III would be a very convenient excuse to do all sorts of things that they're designed to do. Here's the good aspect. Here's the silver lining to that cloud. That's the level of desperation that they're at right now. I think they're like, you know, they have like the alien fake invasion card up their sleeve. And they're like starting to play that and are like, oh, crap, no one's going to fall for that. Like they've got nothing. If they're willing to play the alien invasion card, that means they got no other cards left. You understand? That means we've won at that point. That means they are going to have to do something like launch a World War III. And they don't want to do that because, and I've said this before, it's not a threat. I didn't say anything. Anybody should go do anything. But they're not joking or lying or wrong when they say that, like, white Christian men are the number one domestic terror threat. What they mean is that they know that if white Christian men wanted to, it'd be over for them tomorrow. So they're desperate to, like, keep a lid on everybody. And they don't want to start World War III. I think they know, people like myself personally, if it's between going to war with Russia and China or going to war to free myself from oppression, guess where my allegiance lies? It's with my neighbors and my family, and they're terrified of that.